Oh, Mundy, you're a funny cunt. Look at him. Hey, Joel, look at Mundy dancing. He's a funny cunt, eh?
Mick, chill
out.
Just one of those bottles of vodka, thanks, mate.
G'day, Mick speaking. Yeah, sorry, who? Ben who? Ben? Oh, Ben Howard. Oh, yeah, I've heard of you. Oh, nah, mate, I'm not in London at all. Nah, I'm not here, I'm not in London. Nah, sorry, mate. Maybe another time, eh? Yeah, right, yeah, boy. Fucking Taylor, giving me number out. Can't.
World Service presents...
This is London.
One boy, nothing's a gone here in the death land.
Yeah. Welcome to the Surf Europe podcast. I'm Paul Evans.
And I'm Ben Mundy.
Coming up in the show, prepare to be horrified by the antics of middle-aged men long since past their best, still desperately trying to grab a bit of attention in what is essentially a youth sport. No, not us. It's 11-time world champion Kelly Slater in Portugal. Do you know a place where the vodka is £700 a bottle, but the banter is absolutely priceless? Ben attempts a new world record in name-dropping as he recalls a recent night out in London's sleazy Soho district with not one but two former world surfing champions. Meanwhile, when it comes to non-violent, lasting conflict resolution in a surfing situation, sometimes the rusty sheriff's badge is mightier than the olive branch. We reveal how. And we offer a therapeutic response to the evil that Rob do. It's a Moment Mundy Machado special.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, Paul. How are you? What's been happening? What's going on? What's happening in the surf world in Europe?
I just got back from Portugal, actually.
Oh, yes. Yes, I wanted to talk to you about that, actually, Paul. Down in Nazaré, were you?
Yeah, I did a speciality event called The Perfect Chapter.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't really listen, but I just thought that, you know, we've got a bit of a thing, a bit of a duo going on, and I heard you were down there flying solo, commentating. Also, that's not a WSL-sanctioned event, is it, Paul?
No, it's not just a one-off.
Well, I think, like, maybe as the surfers, they can't surf in the unsanctioned events. They got major fines. I was thinking that maybe the commentators should be under the same sort of level of scrutiny. I've put a few words into the powers of being the WSL. I'll be interested to hear what they say.
Well, thanks for that. Well, I did ask if I could get you on it, but they weren't interested.
They haven't heard about my affiliation with Nazaré.
Well, no, actually,
shame, really. I mean, it's a triangle. It's a love triangle.
No, I asked around on your behalf when I was down there, but no one seemed to remember you or heard of you. I said, there's this guy, sort of a funny-looking guy. He saved Shane Doran, rescued Shane Doran on the big day. They're like, nothing.
Did you mention I was in my underpants at one stage?
Memories? I didn't mention that, no.
Anyway, how was it? It looked like there were some good waves down there, Paul. It looked like it was barreling.
Yeah, it was spiraling hard. Originally, like, they had invitee list of quite a strong international fielders like Bruce Irons, Coa Smith, Bobby Martinez, Damien Hobgood, guys like that. When it was sort of called on, and I asked, oh, who's coming? And Gabe Kling actually came over.
One of the world's renowned tube riders.
Yeah, he made final.
He does rip, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was good. And Balaram Stack, do you know much about him?
I just know that he charges barrels he's pretty cool.
His nickname's Ballsack.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you had a good time, Paul. Glad you had a good time, really.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it. Anything else been happening in the southwest of France?
Yeah, I've got an anecdote, actually, Ben.
That's surprising.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it, Paul. As would our legion of fans, the 200 subscribers that I like to call our special family. They'd be well up for it, I imagine.
Yeah.
What's happened?
So I went for a surf on a little bank, not that far away, a little back the coast. And basically, there's a guy in the water being a bit of a dick. And whatever, I kind of hate you.
What, in France?
he basically is getting a bit carried away, and he dropped on in on me a couple of times, and then he had a few other ways and whatever. And then he sort of on one of the sort of multiple droppings, I was like, mate, come on, you know, settle down. Just kind of amicable, you know, it wasn't hostile or anything, just kind of nice. And then whatever, he just said, like, if you want, we can like have a, you know, have a paddle battle or whatever, and for the inside. And I was just like, come on, mate, whatever. Just kind of let it go anyway. I paddled off and, you know, had my surf. And
does he carry his own personal priority boy with him? Stick out the back.
So we surfed for a bit, and actually all the waves tended to sort of come to me. And he pretty much didn't catch another wave for about an hour and a half. So I kind of won there. And then back on the beach, there's that little bunker, the spot I was at, that kind of sticks out a bit. And it's about a metre above the, sort of the beach. And he'd got out of the water just before me. He was making his way about, and he kind of stopped a little bit up the path. And he was kind of crouching down, so his eye level was sort of level with me. And I had my stuff on the bunker, my clothes there, and I was getting changed. So I took my clothes off and my wetsuit off, sorry, and I was sort of in the nude. And I had a towel, but I just sort of had it on my head. So I was basically completely in the buff. And then like a flash of inspiration, I knew he was right behind me. And it just kind of hit me like a flash of genius. I just bent over and kind of looked back at him between my legs and kind of just pulled my cheeks apart and showed him my bum hole. So, right. And
I wouldn't call that a flash of genius or inspiration, just a flash of your hairy a-hole.
I just can't think of a better way of resolving a sort of very minor dispute in the surf or any other sort of sporting encounter than just sort of, you know, there's no point going, oh, you're a dick. No, you're a dick. Or, do you know what I mean? Exchanging sort of things. Just show someone your bum hole and move on.
Please hang up and try again.
Have you got any anecdotes, Ben?
Well, I don't have any sort of talk of, just brazen nudity, but I did happen to go out for a little drink with a few mates in London town.
What mates, Ben?
Oh, it's just Joel Parkinson and Mick Fanning, a couple of old mates from back in the day, really. They were in town, they called me up, obviously.
You weren't busy.
We had a few drinks. Mick had just come back from Ireland. He got some great waves. Parker's come back from Portugal with the family.
Did Mick and Joel mention the podcast? Have they been listening to the podcast much?
Yeah, they do. Oh yeah, they're one of our many, many subscribers. They actually mentioned, they were a bit surprised I hadn't done it on my own. They thought it could have been a better format, just probably me talking about my close relationships with the surfers. But
did Mick ask about me? What's Evans up to?
He didn't mention you. Your name didn't come up. We went out and had a good night out. But one of the funniest things that happened, it wasn't me being funny, obviously. I was just more kind of smoothing, like being like a fixer kind of guy around London, just making things happen. But it was Halloween. Well, it was a Saturday night, so Halloween was on the Monday, but everyone was going pretty large in London. And one of the clubs we went into, one of the bartenders was dressed as a shark. That was his Halloween outfit. Anyway, I know we had a laugh at that. About half an hour later, we were all sitting downstairs, and Mick had his back to the stairs. Downstairs comes Parko, dressed in the shark outfit. He paid the bartender $20 to get the shark outfit on. Came down, snuck up behind Mick, did the old shark joke. Oh, we laughed. We really did laugh.
Who was getting the drinks in?
I didn't buy a drink. I really.
No, that's not like you, Ben. Normally, you're always first to the bar.
Because I was doing so much of the fixing, making things happen, being the cool guy. I just thought that those 700-pound bottle of vodka, that could go to someone else, seeing as that's about three of my weekly wage. We had a great time.
Did anyone recognise the boys? Are they sort of well-known in London?
No one. No one.
Really?
No one knew who they were. No one gave a flying fuck, Paul. We did have one little sort of. Can I add another? Can I do a postscript anecdote to that one?
Please don't stop. Yeah.
When I was actually talking to Mick a bit earlier, he'd been to Alaska on a pretty cool trip. You can see that on the WSL, actually, the little blurb. He did a little environmental piece. And I was chatting to him about that. He got a phone call, and he started talking to this guy, and he had a bit of a chat. And said, oh, yeah, let's try and catch up. He put the phone down. I said, who was that? And he goes, oh, that was Ben Howard, the singer-songwriter of note from the UK. And I sort of know Ben through another mate of mine, so he found out Mick was in town.
God, you know everyone, don't you?
I do. And I said, oh, how have you met Ben? Because he's such a cool guy. Did you catch up? And he goes, oh, and Mick goes, no, I've never met him before. And so it was just a cold call. So I think that's just what I worked out. Famous people, if you're famous enough, you can just ring up someone and say, hey, I'm this guy. And the other person goes, well, I'm this guy. And we're at some sort of famous level, they can just go and hang out.
How did he get his number, do you think?
I don't know. Well, I think Ben's really good friends with Taylor Knox and other mixed mates. And they were like, well, if you're a mate of a mate, you can just call up, I think. But anyway, I was like, hidey ho. Not my, you know, I didn't intervene. And Ben went out and had a good night with them too. And it was all good times in London with me and my closest mates.
Do you listen to much, Ben Howard, before paddling out to get amped up?
No, not so much.
Only love. That sort of stuff?
Yeah, no, I don't. His music, I've seen him live. He's amazing.
Only love.
Go see him live, and I hung out with him loads. He's a legend of a bloke, but I don't really listen to his music before I'm psyching up for a surf. But he's a champion, I'll tell you that. So that was my anecdote, Paul. I'll raise your hairy a-hole and throw in some A-class surf celebs in London. Enjoy this trip.
Time now for a regular feature where we reflect on recent events, things that really floated our boats, and things we didn't enjoy quite so much. It's the part of the show we like to call... Ben, tell us what's...
I'll tell you what's bad, Paul. It's really getting on my goat recently. Is the sort of the death of the handshake. I used to love a good old-fashioned handshake. It was a sign of it was a calling card for your own personal kind of well-being. And used to shake a man's hand or a woman's hand. That was it. You met them, all good. Obviously some people took it too far with a firm handshake. They'll try and crush your hand as a sign of manliness. Sometimes people would be a bit weak and that's no good at all. But just a nice firm handshake I thought was the perfect kind of greeting amongst friends, strangers, whatever. That sort of went a bit off. It started being like high fives and shuckers. You didn't know whether to do the double grab or the whatever. And that was always a bit ambiguous. I didn't like that, but I sort of rolled with it. A bum, a fist pump, whatever, however you want to do it. Cool. But still, but then it's now moved on to hugs. You've got to hug everyone when you meet them. You haven't met a mate for a week and he expects a hug. I mean, I like a hug myself. Don't get me wrong. If I see a one of my family or someone I've really missed, or it's been a couple of years. But just hugging as a general way of greeting, I'm fucking over it, Paul.
Be honest.
I just want the handshake back.
Be honest. When you met Mick and Joel, did you go for the hug?
No. We went for a good old-fashioned handshake, because that's what we do.
Mandy, here you go, cunt.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. You don't need a hug. I mean, I just think it can be awkward. People don't know how to respond. I just think there's too much ambiguity, and I'm over it, Paul. So that's what I'm...
Bruno Santos, the little Brazilian guy who was at the Nazaré event, at this sort of opening ceremony thingy, which was kind of outdoors, on that lighthouse there at Nazaré, and there's like a 10-foot swell sort of crashing into the cliff. It was like, you know, the sun was setting. And all you could hear kind of piercing the sort of general chitter-chat of a meet and greet with these really loud, like... clasp handshakes. He like got really firm, like, and he even kind of gets into that kind of stance where you bend both legs a bit and get kind of strong and kind of low down a bit, and you can really do like a hard sort of clasping kind of one of them.
You get nervous when you
obviously I hugged him, but it was awkward because he was kind of, his head was sort of in my midriff, which is a bit awkward but also fun.
Paul, have you got anything, Matt?
It's the names that pro surfers are coming up with or aren't coming up with to name their clips from their time in Europe, particularly France. Everyone seems to be doing clips called baguettes and barrels. Everything's baguettes and barrels. Like, surely you can do a little bit better than that to describe your time here. I mean, I don't know. When I think of France, baguettes isn't sort of the first thing that comes to mind. Everyone eats bread, don't they? I mean, can't we try and think of something like, I don't know, never ever indicating left when you go left round a roundabout, but always indicating when you're in the outside lane on a motorway, and barrels. Or
smoking in children's playgrounds.
Or to quote The Simpsons, you know, cheese guzzling surrender monkeys and barrels. Like, just something else, basically. I mean, everyone eats bread. And what's actually quite weird about it as well is all the sort of surfers from overseas do it, but even the French have sort of started like kind of doing like little emoticons of baguettes and stuff on their own clips. It's kind of like infected them. It's really weird. I just think there's a lot more to France than baguettes, and can't we come up with just a bit of a better name for stuff?
On that note, if I can just jump into, while we're talking about clips, can we also perhaps not have them start with a the view out the plane window, as I reckon 97% of surfing clips are starting with a fucking view. Like, yes, you're going on a plane, guys. Yeah, you've established that. I mean, you shoot 4,000 hours of film, and the best you can come up with as a starter, as an opener, is a view out a windscreen of a porthole of a plane. Makes my blood boil, Paul, so I'll just jump in there.
Okay, Ben, what else have you got that's...
Well, this too is a bit of a French phenomenon, but it's also in Australia. It happens all over the world, but I've got a beef with surf company employees.
Wankers!
The ones that put stickers on the front of their boards.
Right, right.
As if they look sponsored, and it happens in Ossiga a fair bit. Also down in like surf towns like Torquay and even the Gold Coast, it's pretty well established as well. So you've got some 45... fucking year old marketing assistant.
Who do you have in mind, Ben? Name and shame.
Oh, man, there's too many to name and shame. There's hundreds of them.
What's your mate? What's your mate that works at Billabong here with the grey hair, the tall guy? No, you know the one I mean. He's got grey hair. I don't know what he does.
So, man, you could be talking about 100 of them because
Hang on. He's got a sticker, a team sticker on his board. It's bigger than like Andy Irons' Billabong logo.
Yeah, that happens.
You know who I'm talking about. I think he's got the same name as a Premier League manager.
Jose? I don't know. No. I don't know. But whatever I'm saying is that I've seen like 62-year-old Australian like weathered industry execs with their Rip Curl sticker on the front of their board.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you're not sponsored. You just work for the company, which is great. I like your affiliation with the brand that you're proud of. But you're not sponsored. So get the stickers off your board. I think that was something that...
Yeah, you're probably not promoting it. You're more like bringing the label into disrepute. It's sort of like you're probably affecting sales rather than helping sales.
Paul, have you got anything that's...
People posting stuff about Donald Trump all the time on Facebook.
You're a big fan.
No, I mean, I'm not a Trump fan, but I just can't see the point in constantly just listing a sort of endless series of things he's done wrong. I mean, isn't it all just safe to assume that we all... most sort of fairly normalish people think he's mental and there's a sort of certain degree of despair. But unless you're actually American, you can't vote in their election anyway, their presidential election, right? But let's pretend that you were. Let's pretend that you're from, like, Louisiana or somewhere and you're a staunch Republican, you're a Trump fan, maybe you're a member of the National Rifle Association, maybe you don't really... Maybe you don't really like brown people much. Are you honestly gonna go on Facebook and go, oh, look, oh, no. My mate John from Australia, he's posted something that Donald Trump said now. Oh, okay, well, actually, now I think about it, yeah, I think I might vote for Hillary. Like, as if that's going to happen.
But surely it's a forum, it's a vent, you know? What if you just can't... If you're against everything he believes in, his policies, his approach... you know, his attitude towards all minorities, poor people, etc. Surely this is a way you can vent your frustrations. You can't just bottle it up.
It's more like a popularity contest of like who dislikes Trump more. Well, I would think if you've got concerns, why not get politically active in your own country where you actually live, where you can actually vote and like maybe have some kind of influence. Start a campaign group, lobby for something, do something where you actually live. Unless you're actually American, what is the point going on about their election? What's the point in that? Ben, what else have you got that's...
This is a bit of an internal turmoil. It's a more personal thing, Paul, but I was recently in France. Had a nice surf, had a really good surf, actually. It was pumping. And I got out about an hour before dark, and I was sitting in one of those new beach bars in Hosker. Hosker have just worked out that you can put a bar on a beach after 30 years of people bringing their own Cronenberg down to the beach and bring away. There's these cool little beach bars, and I was having a beer, and I was just thinking... Oh, the surf started to look good, and I was like, I was torn because when I'm surfing and I see these beach bars, I think, oh, I'd love to be drinking beer. But when I'm actually out of the water drinking beer, then I'm torn. I wish I was surfing. I don't know if you've ever felt that, Paul. That it's that real inner sort of turmoil, the conflict where you can't really be happy.
Isn't that good though? That sounds like a win-win situation. What's bad? How's that bad?
because you're torn. It's when you're out, you want to be surfing, and when you're surfing, you want to be drinking beer. And it's, I don't know, it just, it's sort of, I don't like that feeling.
Paul. Yeah, sad stories to come out of France this autumn as the jungle migrant camp being disbanded in Calais and Ben Mundy not being able to decide whether to go for another surf or have a beer.
I'll get over it, I'm sure. Paul, have you got the last thing that is...
Kelly Slater.
Oh, here we go.
He's just become a bit of an embarrassment, hasn't he, really? It's actually getting awkward. He's kind of almost turning into that sort of weird uncle that, like, still thinks his jokes are funny or... Almost like that sort of supply teacher that sort of swears and says, "Oh, I was pissed off," to try and like impress the kids. It's a bit weird. I mean, he sort of won't go away. It seems like he's so desperate for attention. Has all the weird stuff he's been doing lately. When John won the title, he was kind of lurking, trying to get in the shot, and sort of he had to be there, didn't he? Then he sent that weird sort of post about Geordie being the best, making the best clips. Sort of, like a minute after John won the world title.
And last year he did post his perfect wave, the first ever perfect, you know, his man-made wave 30 seconds after D'Souza won his world title.
Yeah, he put his face on like Willy, the actor that played Willy Wonka and Charlie. It's just really weird. Maybe like John or just one of those sort of younger guys in that generation maybe just kind of needs to go, "Oh my God, Kelly, you are so embarrassing." Kind of like when you know when you're sort of 13 and your dad wants to like come and talk to your friends, and you know,
when they go to the contest, you get dropped. Kelly has to drop them off, but like 400 meters down the road from the contest.
He's growing a beard and just he'll literally do anything to sort of get in the public eye. I'm a little bit sad to see.
Well, okay, fair enough. So at this rate, you're taking down the momentum generation one by one. You've got your Rob Machado long running beef.
More on Rob later in the show.
You've humiliated Kelly now on the podcast. So who have we got left? We've just got Taylor Knox, Benji Weatherly, Pat O'Connell to go. No, that's good. Good. Okay, I got a good email the other day. Albeit a group one, there was still about 4,000 people. But Jeff Devine, I don't know if you know Jeff Devine. He was one of the iconic photographers of the 70s, turned into a...
yeah, we know he is. Yeah, get on with it.
Well, people should, because he's a legend. He sent an email. He said, just to me, he said, "I'm leaving the Surfers Journal after 18 years, after photo editing for 35 years with a prior 17-year stint at Surfer. It's time to shift to focusing more on my work, having more gallery shows, drive the 101 north, listen to the coyotes howl and watch the fog roll in." So Jeff Devine, just a poetic sort of farewell there for one of the legends of our sport. He goes on to lament the sort of the passing of the magazine, Paul.
What does he say, Ben?
You're responsible for sort of grinding Surf Europe into the dust. You know what it's like to lose a magazine, like literally under your own watch. So he says that he still just remembers the stoke of seeing incredible images that the photographers had sent, and then the process of excitement and seeing the combination of words and visuals come to life in print. And he will never ever forget that feeling, Paul, as you probably will never forget it, even though you don't get to do it anymore. Anyway, so that was Jeff Devine, legend of the game, just listening to coyotes howl. Vale, we're not dead, but Vale, Jeff Devine, thanks for all your thanks for your images and your input.
Wow, I sort of glazed over there a bit. Wow.
Well, that's it, with emotion.
Gigsilliers on the WSL webcast, actually. Gigsy, I just think he's brilliant. What a breath of fresh air. He sounds obviously quite distinctively different, which is cool. But also, he's like pretty much the first person to come up with any new terminology, any new phrases or words in surfing for sort of 5 to 7 years. I mean,
I would go longer.
We got quite used to hearing, "Oh, that was the money turn right there," and you know, he comes out the doggy door and
chip shot was new.
Yeah, he's building
about 10 years ago.
He's building house. I mean, Strider's maybe come up. He's coined bingo. Bingo. He hits the lip. Bingo. It's 8.5. But other than that, no one's really done anything new. But Giggsy's like, he sort of invented a whole new sort of style where he uses like a really quirky verb and then like a really unusual noun. So he'll say like, it'll kind of, they'll go to a clip or whatever and it'll be back to sort of live commentary and he'll go, unlocking structures here. I just say something really quite abstract. Cross-referencing situations. The other day, actually, I was driving, I was in the car and I had the webcast on from Portugal. My mum was down visiting. So I had the WSL app open on the iPhone.
What a holiday she had.
Yeah, on the iPhone.
Back from Portugal with the WSL app blaring.
The iPhone 4S was on speakerphone in the car and I was driving for a surf and I was getting all psyched. So I had it on pretty loud and it was Giggsy talking. And then basically Giggs through to Rosie, who was interviewing Geordie. So it was like, yeah, well, let's go down to Rosie. And then Rosie was like, yeah, well, I'm here with Geordie. And then Geordie was like, yeah, and it was sort of very sort of South African. And my mum, she sort of looked down at the phone and went, God, the Australian accent's annoying, isn't it? And I was like, well, yeah, well, that's pretty sure they're South African. So you have raised a good point, mum, but, you know, on this particular instance, they're South African. But, yeah, I just think Giggsy's great and they're more power to him. And also my mum. Ben Mundy, what else have you got that's...
I'm still going on the ancient surf photographer theme, I think, which is a vein that hasn't been explored enough recently. And I recently saw a photo done by Peter Jolly Wilson, who's probably got the best archive of professional surfing in the world.
Didn't you just say Jeff Devine did?
No.
Okay, sorry, carry on.
He was more of a curator and an instigator, where Jolly's just been taking photos and he's got them all archived and you can
fascinating. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
It's really good ones. Anyway, he put a photo up of Emma.
Did he?
And the great Emma and Wendy Botha. Emma's wearing some really lovely sort of stonewashed denim that the belt buckle just rests just below his left nipple. He's got a lovely white sort of billowing blouse. And then he's got this mullet that just is to die for. Wendy Botha is just looking pretty hot in a short skirt. And it did remind me of both how much I love Mark Richards. He was so uncool that he was super cool, which I obviously empathise with quite a lot. These memories come flooding back of a trip to Boomerang Beach when I was about 18 and the new Penthouse came out with Wendy Botha on the cover. And for us, just the mixing of...
Well, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Ben. Yeah.
And the surf star was a heady cocktail, Paul.
Now, there's an image.
Paul, have you got something that's...
Yeah, I do, Ben. It's Saks Underwear. That's SAXX Underwear. And they've come up with an absolute game-changing innovation in male undergarments.
Did you get a free pair?
No, Ben, I got two free pairs. And it's going to take a lot more than that to get a specific endorsement on the podcast. I get sent a lot of free stuff, as you know. And,
Can I just stop you there for 1 second and say that we are open to endorsements on this podcast. Anyone out there listening of our 200 subscribers, please contact Ben or Paul. What were you saying?
I wouldn't dream of bringing anything up on air unless I really, really believed in it. And it's an absolute game changer. Basically, they've got a pair. It's like a normal pair of boxers made of, you know, some really nice, breathable, stretchy, great-looking material. But they've got a thing inside called the ballpark pouch. And it's actually like a design to keep your tackle away from your leg.
Well, this isn't new, Paul. This exists. The classic board short net used to be inside board shorts.
No. What you're thinking of is what Alan Partridge would have called a pant lining. They've actually got a pant lining. No, it's not that. I'm not talking about a whole lining inside. I'm just talking about one little piece of material that goes, well, on each side, so the two, between your tackle and your inner thigh. So there's no chafing. So your ball bag can't rub against your inner thigh. It's called the Ballpark Pouch TM. They've trademarked it.
What's the material? What is this material?
It's a mesh of some kind. I believe it's a synthetic fibre with sort of breathable, kind of porous. I don't know, but it's technical and it's. I tell you what, it's comfortable. And well, you've been to Bali, spent time in the tropics, walking around a hot afternoon in Kuta. I mean, you can end up in all sorts of trouble. Or just on a long car journey, you know, driving wherever, a long drive. You know, you can get into some really nasty chafing situations. But with the ballpark pouch TM from Saks SAXX underwear, I think that's a thing of the past, and I embrace genuine innovation. What else have you got that's...
Well, you just briefly mentioned Alan Partridge there, Paul, who, for those listeners out there that don't know who he is, he's the creation of Steve Coogan. He's a very, very funny individual. And he's got a book out called, I think it's called I, Alan Partridge, and it's hilarious.
Right, so is the opening chapter about surfing, is that the relevance to the Surf Europe podcast?
No, it's not much about surfing.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Well, I could talk about buying 4 avocados in a fucking supermarket, which is what you've spent 20 minutes of the last podcast.
Surfers eat avocados, Ben. Surfers eat avocados.
Anyway, Alan Partridge, there's also a little YouTube clip in the rounds of him taking ecstasy, and I advise you to watch it.
To take ecstasy? Oh, right.
It's got nothing to do with surfing, but you know what? Surfers like a laugh, Paul. You know, we need more humour in our world. Yeah. So there you go, that is good.
Well, to quote you, that's super relevant to surfing. Yeah, great. Good. And kids, by the way, ecstasy, in moderation.
Yeah, just one.
Yeah, just a half now and maybe another half later. Autumn, Ben. Autumn, the season.
I've heard of it. Yeah,
it's brilliant. It's so sort of full of life and sort of ripeness at the moment. It seems like the ocean's full of fish. There's like guys catching like big tuna out the back here. There's been swordfish out there. There's all the berries. When you walk through the forest, there's like berries that you can eat. There's every night in my garden, there's bats coming. I've been watching the bats with my kids while they go to bed. There's like heaps of dolphins out in the sea. You've got the dawn chorus of birds. That's back because it kind of goes away a bit in the summer. And it just, surf's been great. It's been warm. It just feels really like alive. And I'm on this kind of like, almost like sort of cosmic kind of natural groovy vibe. Do you know what I mean? I'm just really high on autumn.
High on autumn. Man.
It's no email, group email from Jeff Devine, but it's, you know, I get
it's
a
little, just it's just a, it's a season.
Yeah, I get a little kick out of it. Yeah.
And I look forward to that first front that comes through from the Atlantic.
Yeah, do you know what? And last night,
signifying 3 months of 80-foot swell and howling nor'westers.
Just last night, actually, I was kept awake by the les grues. The migration of the cranes. So like all the cranes that come over in the night, and they kind of make that noise all night, like thousands of them. I just think it's a really exciting time of year. I love it. It's just another moan about my shadow. Okay, well, regular listeners to the podcast might recall in the last episode I recounted quite a heart-rending tale of getting snaked by Rob Machado at Uluwatu in 2007. Well, it turns out it struck a bit of a chord there with the surf world, and it seemed like there's an awful lot of people out there who do have issues with Machado, who have been wronged by Rob. And we just thought we'd like to offer, as part of the healing process, we'd dedicate Moan at Monday. This episode is a special Moan About Machado. We're going to go to our first caller, and it is Maddo, a regular caller, getting in touch from down under. And Maddo, I understand you're a bit emotional, so we'd just like to give you this opportunity in your own time to share.
He wronged a very good friend of mine, and I'll tell you, I'll never forget it.
I know where you're coming from emotionally. He's been dead to me since 2007. Carry on, Maddo.
Can I just jump in here? Hi, Tim. Maddo, it's Mundy here.
Hello, Mundy.
Paul Evans has instigated this. He's got a gripe with Machado. I don't. But it seems that there's other people out there that do. Have you got a moan of Mundy about Machado, Maddo?
I'll tell you what I don't like about Machado. Can I tell you? Not only did he have a really bad crack at a good pommy mate of mine, who I get on with very well. Not only that, he claimed himself as born in Australia, which I don't believe, and I'll never believe.
It's all lies.
He's not Australian. fucking Machado, you know what he does? He reminds me of an avocado.
Why is that?
He looks all fucking healthy on the outside, but you cut him down on the inside, he's a fucking... He's got nothing.
Paul, I'm here.
Can you hear me right now, Paul?
I've got loud and clear, yeah.
I'm telling you, champion, you've got it so right. Monday has changed.
Okay, well, Maddo there sounds like he's got an awful lot on his plate emotionally to do with Rob, and he's had a bit to drink. We just wish him well with the healing process. It's just another moan about Machado. Okay, well, we've got another caller on the line, and it's Jeremy calling from the Isle of Man. Jez, welcome to the show. Would you like to moan about Machado? Have you been wronged by Rob?
I wanted to moan about The Drifter. Do you remember The Drifter? I think it's a Taylor Steele movie. He's in Indonesia, and he's off looking for a perfect wave that he can surf on his own to escape the crowds and discover himself. And it's a pretty shit movie, I thought, anyway, to begin with. But what really got my nerves was, you know, he finds that left-hander in, I think it's in Sumba. They don't say any of this in the movie, but he finds a left-hander, and it's the one he's been searching for. He goes there on his motorbike on a real solo mission through the wilderness, and he surfs it on his own. But it turns out that the left-hander is actually Nihuatu, which is the site of a luxury resort where you have to pay, I think it's about £1,000 to stay the night there, and that's before they even give you a surfing pass.
Yeah, Ben's actually been there, and I think he stayed there for free. Are you saying he's a fraud? Are you accusing him of fraud?
Well, yeah.
Well, okay, hi, Jess. Ben here. Yeah, I appreciate you, mate. Had some valid points. I mean, I'd just like to reiterate, this is more of a Paul Evans anti-Machado witch hunt. I'm just here to try and sort of level up and give Rob a bit of support, really. But he's not the first person to do a bit of subterfuge in a film, is he not? Isn't a film a bit of escapism? Isn't it meant to be? Yeah, that's not always. They're not documentaries, are they?
I mean, fair enough. If you want to go a perfect way where you have to pay thousands of pounds to stay there for the night, that's fine. But then don't bollock on about how you've just discovered this wave in the Indonesian wilderness and you're such a soul surfer.
You can see right through him, can't you, Jez? What do you think in terms of repercussions? I mean, if there are any awards handed out for that movie, would you like maybe have them taken back? Or what would you like to see done to Rob?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't have won any awards in the first place. It wasn't a very good movie.
Okay, fair
and,
point.
I mean, no, I'm not advocating repercussions. I don't think he should go to jail. I just think all those people who watched the movie and thought, God, this Rob Machado guy, he's pretty deep, isn't he? He's pretty spiritual. He's a real wanderer. Should maybe reconsider that. Just
another moan about Machado. Okay, we've got another call on the line. It's Johnny Dave calling from Sunderland. Welcome to the show. Would you like to moan about Machado?
I think it was about 1995, and we were strolling through the desert in West Australia, and lo and behold, they were bumped basically into the Billabong Challenge at the time, and so there's a load of tents up in the desert filled with all these top pros in the world, and we were some impressionable young grommets, and we got asked in for breakfast one day, which was obviously amazing.
Uh-oh.
But I do remember what he put on his eggs, which was just freaked us out to this day. So as we went in, basically, I saw him putting some jam on some toast, which is totally normal. Oh, brilliant. Machado's just like us. He likes jam on his toast. he then proceeded to put a fried egg on top of said toast and jam. Unbelievable. Which basically is neither fair to the egg nor the jam. What? And it's confused us to this day.
What a weirdo. What would you like to see done to Rob? Do you think he should have to go on one of those courses? Like when you do like a speed, too many speedings, you have to go on like a rehabilitation driving course, maybe,
yeah,
like a cookery course.
He needs to check into the primary clinic to sort his sort of jam and egg confusion out.
Okay, well, Johnny Day. Ben, anything to add to Johnny?
Oh, I'm absolutely speechless by of all the crimes against humanity that Rob's been proposed has done. This is right up there for me. And thanks, Johnny, for your time.
Yeah, I think what this demonstrates. Sorry to jump in, but what is pure evil really does get sort of at you from every angle. It's just another moan about Machado. Okay, Ben, well, we've got quite a few people getting in touch via Twitter and by email. It seems that it's actually too painful for some people to talk about on air. This is a message that came in from, well, I'm not going to use their name, but let's say Cody in California. He says he started going bald when he was 16, and it's been the subject of ridicule for a lot of his friends, and he's been teased, and he went completely bald by 20. And during that whole time, Rob was just flaunting his hair. He had an afro, first of all, and then he went with the long pony. It's almost like he's rubbing his face in it. Did he need to do that, Ben?
I've actually got one here, though, Paul, from Hendrix Lives, is his hashtag. Oh, sorry, his Twitter handle. And he said, I bought the Surfers CD. It cost $25. I want my money back.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't blame Rob for that. Hendrix Lives has only got himself to blame because you went out and bought that with your eyes wide open, mate. So you're an idiot.
That's one of the few times where I find it hard to defend the mob. But yeah, I feel we pay Hendrix Lives.
Okay, well, Barnaby here got in touch. He says in the late 90s, him and his girlfriend went to the cinema in California. And they were actually sitting behind Rob and Kalani Rob, and they couldn't see anything. They basically missed the whole movie, so because those guys had big afros at the time. There's just so many ways that Rob will get you. Oh, he'll get you.
Yeah.
He'll get you. Josh got in touch, and he said he basically rode surfboards that were too thin and too narrow for about 17 years because of Rob. And the sort of boards he was riding, he was influenced by him again in the 90s. And he's missed a lot of waves, and he's never going to get them back. So Josh there.
Yes, but I would counter that by saying that he was one of the first guys to then get on alternative equipment, the wider, fatter stuff that did revolutionise a lot of people getting a lot more waves.
Too late, man. Too little, too late. Well, Ben, look, you and I can sit here and debate this endlessly, the various cons and cons of Rob Machado, but let's just leave the final word with the late, great Andy Irons. He had something to say about the Machado Slater high five in the 95 Pipe Masters, and I don't think he's particularly happy with Rob either. Let's listen to Andy.
You don't high five the guy that you're competing against for a world title that you've worked so hard for your whole life, and then high five him and end up losing to him in the heat. Sucks.
Well, that's a wrap. I mean, what a way to end the podcast, Paul, with the late, great Andy Irons. I always love hearing his voice, and I think that's a good way to end.
So don't forget to subscribe, tell a friend, leave a review on iTunes as well. And I'm Paul Evans, reminding you to enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. And he's Ben Mundy saying,
get a dog right up, yes.